like good singing all the way around. This looks like my bulletin here that I've been writing on. It's my writing. Here, lay it over by my book. You can look at it if you want to, but just wait till after church. This time last week, we were in Alabama. Well, Brother Sam, he is up back in Indianapolis. Doing a good job, by the way. He did a good job. Very comical and all that. Brother Randy was preaching, and good sermon, by the way. I listened to it after church was over, and got out of that biscuit chunking place there one night. I can't remember what night that was. I'm not as much on the biscuit chunkers as I am some of them other places. I mean, the pass around passed us up. We didn't get as much as we should have, but I had more than I could eat or any of you could eat. That's just how much it was. Anyhow, I did listen to it, and the wife, she tuned in. We were sitting on the pier. People would walk by and hear that preaching, son, and they'd step faster. Sometimes they'd slow down and see what was being said. You just can't never tell. You can't never tell. You'll probably get to glory one of these days, and somebody say, you know, I heard a preacher preaching on tape. You never know. You never know. And something got a hold of my heart. We know who the someone is. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking here. We're ready? All right. Amen. I don't know what. Maybe I'm unconsciously turning it on, then turning it off, and turning it sideways. Matthew chapter number 8, if you find the place, we're looking there. Matthew chapter 8. If you'll find the place you're able to stand, then do so. And so, anyhow. All right, verse number 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. We thank you for these boys and girls and men and women. Lord, for every family represented here, be with those who could not be. We praise you and thank you for having heard and answered prayer, and for prayers that you're already going to answer in the days to come. Now I pray your blessing, Lord, upon the church, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while an old sermon way back when entitled, Sailing Through the Storms of Life with Jesus. Now I noticed something in the lesson that you're looking at. You'll find that this account here in Matthew chapter number 8 is given over in the book of Mark chapter number 4, Luke chapter number 8 as well. And I want to tell you something, is that we ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what a great companion that it is to have Jesus in the ship with you and to be able to sail across the seas that are, tempestuous is one of them. Raging waves is another. Let me say to you that, if you will, that you and I ought to be able to follow the Lord without any reservation whatsoever. We ought to follow the Lord without any stipulation whatsoever. You know what that is? Well, somebody says, well, I think I wouldn't mind going to church if. Okay, now they're going to put a stipulation on it. I got to say to you, follow the Lord. Whenever God said, let's go here, then get going with it. Buddy, you can't go wrong in following the Lord. And let me tell you, without any reservation, without any stipulation, you know, it doesn't make any difference what side of the lake you're on. If Jesus is sailing with you, it won't matter. That's what we're looking at in this lesson. In fact, you're going to find out is that you ought to follow him. In fact, is you're going to find out it won't matter what side the storm comes blowing in on. You just keep following the Lord, and if you'll do that, you'll end up on the right side of this thing. I'll tell you, when God moves, we ought to move. When God says stop, well, stop. You know what the problem is, don't you? Sometimes we go ahead and our sights are set a little farther down the road than God's is. And so as a result of that, we're going to go on a little bit without him. Well, you'll backtrack sooner or later. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find they traveled at his command. You can find Luke chapter 8 bears that out. You're going to find out that he entered into the ship. He said unto them, let's go over to the other side. And man, what a thing that must have been. Because that Bible said, quote, unquote, and they launched forth. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, there's no argument given. There's not anybody saying, have you checked the weather? There's not anybody that is questioning him. In fact, it's a relatively calm day according to the scriptures that they're following along with Jesus. Did you ever notice how easy that it was when it's smooth sailing to follow the Lord? You ever notice that? Now, if there's a few things and obstacles that jump up or prop up, then it becomes a little more difficult. I got to tell you right now, I like to be able to trust the Lord and to follow him and trust the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind. But I like serving him better here in Nacogdoches than I do in Houston. I like going out of town every now and again just to break the monotony, see people, you know, that have that same faraway look on their faces that some of us time we have. But I said all that to be able to say this, make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find out the day that they launched out is that it was a relatively calm day and smooth sailing when he said, let's go over to the other side. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, I want to tell you something about sailing. It'll wear on this flesh that you're in. In fact, as you're going to find out, the Bible said that as they were sailing to the other side, that he fell asleep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. That doesn't mean that physically that he didn't get sleepy every now and again. Sure that he did. And let me say to you that, if you will, when it says over there in Psalm chapter number 121, about verse number 3, he that keepeth Israel, you know, he never lost sight of them while he's back there asleep on a pillow. There's a reason why that he's got all this going on and while he's sleeping. And no doubt that in the flesh, like every person, he got hungry every now and again, had something to eat. He got sleepy and needed to rest and have some sleep that he needed much rest from. And let me tell you something. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4, don't turn there, but he was asleep on a pillow, resting real good. Speaking of pillows, by the way, you ever notice how hard it is to find a good pillow? Some of you can't even get the right shower head in your shower. And all that business, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying to you, it's just hard to get it, you know, really tuned in. I remember I was over there at Brother Jerry and Sarah's house one time, and I said, well, what's wrong with the shower head here? And I forget how many. They done changed it 20 or 30 times. I'm just guessing, but it was a lot. It was enough to scare me. I said, what in the name of God are y'all doing here in the shower, tearing up these shower heads like this? Never mind, I don't really. I mean, there I am in a house 30-something years old, and I've got the same little old cheap, probably if you could even buy it new, it wouldn't be more than about $5. I got the same shower head that I've always had. Sometimes it's like a dog peeing on your back. Now, some of you don't know what that's like. It's like a horse, except it's a lot lighter. Well, never mind. I see y'all not into horses. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find that he's asleep on a pillow. I said all that, and then it reminded me that I have trouble finding a pillow that I'll wake up 100 times during the night. My wife bought me a new pillow the other day. Thought it was the best night's sleep I ever had. Now, for the last several nights, it's the worst night's sleep I could ever get. I'm going to have to get rid of it. I like a feather pillow, and I've got one of them laying in the floor, and I'll grab it up sometime and put it behind my head. And go, oh, yeah, I don't know why. Sorry, buddy, I don't even know why I ever throwed you down there in the floor. Jesus was asleep and obviously comfortable on the pillow. He wasn't worried worried in the least about the storm that was raging outside. I want to say to you that, if you will, that it got real bad. In fact, is it got so bad that they absolutely thought they were going to drown. Now, don't miss some of this thought-given pattern here, because let me tell you, the Bible said the Lord gives His beloved sleep. And when they went back there and they woke Him up, it was because of a tempestuous storm. In the book of Matthew, He said a great tempest. And in Mark chapter, He said a great storm. In Luke chapter 8, it was a strong wind. And let me say to you that, if you will, that while they had started out in a calm, that it was now a disastrous, dangerous trip they were on. You ever notice that there's a thing, everything that ever went through the life of the Lord, we start out in church, everything's calm, hunky-dory, and we're in fellowship one with another and so forth and on, and then all of a sudden, the hell's raging. You know what the idea is, don't you? Is the idea is not to play hide-and-seek and run and hide. The idea is to get His attention, because obviously He's already gotten ours. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, it's not always smooth sailing, even if Christ is in the ship with you. Not always. Sometimes it's going to be a little rough sailing. Do you know the reason why it's that way? He has been trying to get our attention. He was trying to get their attention. And let me tell you right now is that I want to be sensitive unto Him, because when the storm comes, let me tell you, you know what's going to happen? You're going to quit mully grubbing around when the storm hits. And when it does come, you will try to get His attention like He has already gotten your attention. See? I've seen people all the time shaking their head, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. No, we can't understand everything God's done and everything God's doing. If we did, we'd be as smart as He is. I just wanted to tell you that He's been trying to get our attention, but when the storms of life come on you just right, you'll be trying to get His attention. Now, they came to Christ over there in Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, and also in Mark chapter number 4. They come to where Christ is, and they awoke Him. Now, I ain't got to tell you right now, I'm on their side, because let me tell you, if the Lord is asleep, I don't want you to shh and be quiet and let's not wake Him up. You ever see, I have a lot of times, you know, I do a little bit of sleeping every now and again, and they'll come trying to sneak in, and it makes my door makes, after about 7,000-8,000 times every time we get together, opening and closing, it makes a little noise. And then, oh, did I wake you? I don't see the Lord doing that here. He had their attention. Now they're trying to get His attention. And I want to say to you that, if you will, they're awoken. And I want to tell you, they're in a situation they cannot control. Now, you're sitting here tonight in this building here, and you all look like you're pretty easygoing. We kind of know one another. We've served the Lord with gladness. And I want to tell you right up front, dear friend, we have every now and again run up against a situation we could not and cannot control. I had a preacher friend of mine one time. He's dead and in heaven now. And he told me, well, preacher, they voted me out. I said, well, thanks be unto God. You ought to be able to thank God. If they voted you out, you ain't got to pray about going. You don't even have to worry about missing God on the deal. They've done decided God for you. That's something, isn't it? I want to say to you that, if you will, is that they were in a situation they could not control. Now, it was a life-threatening thing, no doubt about that. And I want to tell you something. Now the ship has been covered with waves, and you'll find that it no doubt is filling up some of it with water. Their lives are in jeopardy. And let me tell you right now, what the idea is, we don't want to just sit and wait and wait. We want to come now unto the Lord and lay our lives before Him and seek the face and the mind of God. Do you know, whenever your life's in danger, you ought to come to Christ, commit to Christ? Did you know when your life's in disarray, disorderly, you ought to come to Christ and you ought to commit to Christ when your life is full of doubt, when your life is full of distress? You ought to come to Christ. You ought to be committed and submitted unto Christ. Why do you think that he said today's the day and now's the accepted time? Why do you think that? I can tell you why. Is that he wants to speak peace to our heart and give us a calmness. As he got up and rebuked the winds and told it, peace, be still. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, I can tell you who he is. He's my Lord and my Savior. If you're saved, he's your Lord and your Savior. And I want to tell you right now is, he said, let him speak peace to your heart, and he'll bring calmness deep down into your soul. Because the peace of God passeth all understanding. If you ever had somebody after they ask you, well, you know, what does it mean in order to be saved? Well, when you explain to them the best you know how, they're going to have the touch of God on them and their heart and their mind and open up their understanding about themselves before they're ever going to get in. I got to say to you that in closing, they started out with him sailing in a calmness, but they ended up with him in a calmness because he had calmed the storm. I remember before I ever got saved, I remember getting under conviction many times. I knew what it was to bow your head, repeat a prayer, and run through all emotions, this and that. I already knew that. But I'll tell you, the day that he came and awakened me to who I really was. At the age of 24, when I came to know him in the free pardon of sin. And make no mistake about it, it was a whole lot of difference between just being religiously hopeful and righteously born into the family of God. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? If not, I hope that you'll try to get his attention. He's already been trying to get yours. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bound. Now, Father, we thank you and praise you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We pray you'd save the sinner, the lost without God. May they come to know you in the free pardon of sin. May you trouble them upon their bed. May you trouble them about the routine of life. Lord, we'll say thank you for all you've done and all you're doing.